gone. I'll pray that that's your prayer today. What a great job. Thank you so much, Marty. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Proverbs 25, 11. Go back to that other verse, brother, where we should get to the Word of God. Let's do that together. Let's say those words together. Read it with me. It is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, external in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, then pass it on, and call me gone. I had to add that at the end, you know. That's great. And call me gone. Proverbs 25 and 11. Title of the sermon is Words That Are Needed Today. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. We've all had those moments. We say something because of a great swell of emotion, a great swell of passion rises up within us, and we say something. And almost instantly, we wish we could take it back. We realize that what we've said has created hurt or disappointment to somebody that is around us. And we think, if I just had an eraser, if I just had a rewind button, if I just had some way to take back something I so regret that I said. I tried to get a little strip of a film from an episode of the Andy Griffith Show I could play for you, but it didn't work out. But it's in the first season of the Andy Griffith Show. If you remember, Eleanor Donahue comes on the show as the new druggist in town. And she and Andy become kind of boyfriend and girlfriend. And they're on a picnic. And she happens to see this newspaper that Andy has with him, and it talks about all these different men that are going to run for city councilman. And she looks at it and she says, men, it's always just men on the city council. I think there should be some women on the city council. There should be city council women. In fact, I maybe ought to just run for city council. And Andy Griffith looks up at her and he says, why, Ellie, you know good and well it's always just been men on the city council. Why, a woman on city council, how silly is that? And as soon as he said silly, all of a sudden, boy, I mean, her back got straight and she looked at him. Silly, she said. You think it's silly? And boy, she let him have it. And when she got through, he responded by saying, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. He reached up there and grabbed it right by her ear. He says, I took that old nasty word back. I took that old greasy word that slipped out of my mouth, that word silly. It's right back in there. It never happened at all because it was his way of trying to take it back. And it was humorous the way he did it. We've had those moments, all of us, haven't we? We wish, could I just take it back? Let me get that old greasy word that slipped out of my mouth. I'm going to put it back in here. There it is. Our words today is what we're looking at that can affect those around us. Our words that can affect another person's feelings and emotions. Words that, if we're not careful, can even damage a relationship. Spoken recklessly. Our words carry so much more weight than folks can imagine. In fact, hardly a week goes by that you don't hear or read about some celebrity or some politician or some athlete or some famous person that has said something that's got them into hot water. You remember those episodes, people saying, they kind of backtrack and they go, well, I didn't really mean that, or I didn't mean to say that, or you've seen folks do that. But I'll tell you that the matter goes much deeper than just saying the right thing or just being politically correct. The power of our words are fundamental to our life. The power of our words that can be instrumental in doing great damage and great destruction, or words that can also bring great blessing and encouragement to those around us. There's very few subjects that's more important to the life of Christ and to the kingdom of God, for us to just stop for a moment this morning and understand the power of our words. For example, in John's Gospel, in the first chapter, in verse 1, you know this scripture well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible has got so much to say about the Lord's words, as well about the power of the words that you and I speak. We're promised in Proverbs 12 and 18, 21 and 23, and also 12 and 22. Listen to these promises. The tongue of the wise promotes health. Here's another one. Whoever guards his mouth keeps his soul from troubles. Amen to that. And those who deal truthfully are in God's delight. So as we grow in our relationship with each other, as we grow in our relationship, in our discipleship, and maturing in Christ, God continues to want to refine us, if you would. And part of that refinement is enabling us to have a little bit of refinement and control regarding our tongues. James had a lot to say about the power of the tongue. In fact, in James 3, 5, and 6, he says, the tongue is a little member that is set on fire by hell. That's a pretty powerful thing. Our words can build up. What a good thing when we see that. Our words can bring down and destroy. Our scripture text shows an example of the building up kind. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's saying that our words can create beauty. Our words can create blessings to those around us. They can edify. They can build others up. That word edify, that's an important word. It's used in the Bible many times, and the word edify means to build up. It's the kind of things that we need to do today, to build each other up. That's why we come together, to build each other up with our words of encouragement, not to tear down. So let's examine some examples of the words that we need today. And the first one, number one, is words of cheer. Proverbs 17 and 22, a merry heart does good like medicine. Our cheerful words, cheerfulness, and cheerful words are like medicine to some sin-sick heart and soul. It can be so lifting and so encouraging. And if we'll listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He'll give us divine opportunities. He'll provide for you and me divine appointments to provide words of cheer that bring with them joy and happiness. That it's the joy and happiness that's in us that should be in us because of the joy and happiness that is in Christ that should be in us as His followers and disciples, that we want to share those words with others. But here's the key this morning. This is so important. The key is, what is in our hearts? Please hear me. It's what's in our hearts. That's going to be the source of the words that come out of our mouth. It will define, it'll make the difference whether we're given words of cheer or whether we're given words of discouragement and sadness. It all comes from what's in our heart. Matthew 15 and verse 18 tells us, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And he goes on to say, and they defile a man. In Luke 6 and 45, the Bible tells us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in our heart is what we speak out and what we say. Folks that are always bringing negative reports and finding what's wrong and saying unkind things or judgmental or critical, I can tell you that's what's in their heart. And it's just the opposite of those that bless us. When we speak, our hearts, if they're full of the love and the joy of Christ, then we can't help but speak words of cheer and love and encouragement to those around us. And we become a source of words of cheer. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, what a great word that is. So as we look at words that are needed today, I'll go to the second example, number two, and that's words of comfort. Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a great thing. Does God ever comfort you? Does He ever, by the Holy Spirit, give you reassurance and comfort and blessing? Then the Word is saying that we can do that same thing to those around us. Boy, do we need that today. Our world is so full of discouragement. There's so many folks around us that are suffering. Folks that are suffering in ways that you and I might not even realize it. And they so need our words of comfort. Our words rightly spoken. It brings a comfort to a heart. It brings hope to a life that is in such need, that may be broken and hurting. And our words can make such a difference. Psalm 119 verse 103 again. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Oh, your word. God's word gives us life. When we repeat those things to those around us, then we're helping them have that life that they need at that particular moment, that divine appointment that God's given us to bless somebody else. Down in Uruguay, a little crippled boy was led to Christ by a missionary. The boy would try to read the Bible they gave him and he took home with him, but his mother would take it away from him. His mother would forbid him to read the Bible. Often he would slip out in the woods to pray and take his Bible with him. He prayed for his mother. He was so concerned for his mother's salvation. Sometimes he would say to her, "Oh, mother, I must talk to you." And he'd try to talk to her about Jesus. But she would abuse him physically, then forbid him to ever speak of Jesus. But she did allow him to attend the Sunday worship services if he promised not to talk about God or Jesus anymore in the house. Well, each Sunday, this little crippled boy would go to church. And the missionary, the wife of the missionary that had led him to Christ, that wife would warmly greet him and hug him and give him comfort, give him encouragement, knowing of the physical abuse and the harshness of his mother and his home. Well, the weeks were so hard, but this little crippled boy looked forward to each Sunday because he knew each Sunday he's going to see that missionary's wife and he's going to have loving comfort and tender encouragement for him to continue to trust in Jesus and to believe for his mother's salvation. Well, the months went by. One day he came to his mother again and he said, "Oh, mother, I must talk to you about Jesus." And she just flew into a rage and beat him and sent him to bed without his supper. He lay in bed weeping and praying and crying. He's praying for his mother. Well, in her room, in the deep of the night, the Holy Spirit was convicting his mother. And at 4:00 in the morning, she got out of bed and she went to her little boy's room. And she said, "Son, I feel so badly about whipping you. Will you forgive me?" And the little fellow said, "Sure, mother, I forgive you." Then she said, "Now, son, what do you want to tell me about this man, Jesus?" And in the early morning hours, the little boy told the sweet old story of Jesus and the cross and his love and his forgiveness. And that morning, his mother also found Christ is her Lord and her Savior too. You look at this story and you realize that in the darkest time of discouragement, in the darkest time of suffering in this little boy's life, a dear sweet lady was there for him, the wife of that missionary, that gave him words of comfort that not only made a difference in his life, but led to the salvation of another, his mother, that refused to believe in Christ. How much difference a word can make. How much difference our words can make. We give words of cheer and words of comfort. A third example of words needed today, words of compassion. Compassion is often defined as follows: a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who's stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate suffering. That's what compassion is. It should be in our hearts. Our words, spoken at just the right time, can bring such a sense of comfort because of our understanding and compassion for those that are walking through a dark valley, those that are experiencing a sense of weariness, that need just someone to show compassion for what they're going through. Jesus, when you think about compassion, Jesus is our great example for compassion, isn't he? He said a concerned individual when he was on this earth for those around him. He was so concerned for the sick, for the weary, for those in need. And he was there for them to love them and to help them. Just like words of comfort and cheer, words of compassion must come from the heart. It must be sincere, it must be real, not hollow, not shallow, not born out of just duty, but words born out of true love and concern for those around us. You know, that should be our prayer too. God, let me be so tender-hearted. Let me be so humble in my own spirit to see the needs of those around me and to show that tender love that I know they need. And in 1 Peter 3:8, the Bible says, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted. You know, it's a tender heart is the heart that's always full of compassion. Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Oh, how good it is. Indeed, how good it is to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have those divine appointments, to have a word spoken in due season. You know, our prayer should be, let my heart be tender, Lord. Let my heart and my soul be sensitive and tender to your leading so that someone around me that I don't even know may need a special word spoken at that time to bless them, to help them, to encourage them, and to show compassion. I was in high school. I was finishing up my junior year. I was 16 years old, and there was the teachers would choose the kids at the end of the junior year to be selected for the role in student council, the National Honor Society. And I felt like that I'd be elected and chosen by my teachers in that based on my grades and everything. They came out with the list and made the announcement over the loudspeakers, and I happened to be in my civics class. I remember my civics teacher was Miss Parrish, real sweet lady. And my name wasn't on that list, and I just felt terrible. School and achievement in school was really just so big a deal to me, and it was really important. And not making that Student Council National Honor Society list my junior year, it just crushed me. And I guess Mrs. Parrish must have sensed that in my face that day as they made those announcements over the loudspeaker. When school was over, she called me aside and she says, Lenny, I want you to stay here for just a minute. I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. And she spoke up. She says, you know, I'm on the committee to approve those that are elected to the Student Council National Honor Society for their junior year. And your name was obviously nominated. And all the teachers but one was in favor of it, but it has to be unanimous. And she said, apparently one teacher felt like you had spoken out and said something in her class that disqualified you. Now, I immediately remember what it was. Sometimes I would get carried away with being too funny and being kind of goofy in class. And it had been one of those episodes where I got a little goofy and was saying some funny things and everybody's laughing. And I just kind of kept on and said something that was inappropriate. It was funny. Everybody was laughing, but it was totally inappropriate. And the teacher remembered it. And Mrs. Parrish didn't bring it up. When she brought that teacher's name, I knew exactly what had happened. Now, Mrs. Parrish wasn't saying that to me to make me feel bad. Because I wish you could have seen her face and heard her as she spoke to me that day. Because she knew how I felt. She says, I want you to know I felt you were very deserving. And I voted for you. And I think I know you. And I know what kind of person you are. And I know you'll make it next year. Boy, that just meant so much to that young 16-year-old boy standing there. I remember it today. I'm telling you this story today over 50 years later. It meant a lot. Words of compassion can have such a powerful thing for us. That next year I was elected, and I remember Mrs. Parrish's words, and I was thankful for it. Words of compassion. Oh, God, help us to have those words. Finally, the fourth thing is words of Christian love. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Grace, impart grace. That's an important thing, isn't it? Imparting grace means I'm not going to be angry because I'm offended. Imparting grace means I'm not going to act in a certain way because you didn't treat me the way I thought you should. Because see, if God gave us what we deserved, we all would be going to hell forever. But because of His grace, He says, I see in you the sin, but I'm going to impart to you my grace and my forgiveness. If Christ can do that for you and me, can we not do that for those that maybe hurt us or betray us or offend us? Oh, that we might impart grace to those around us. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another. Just be kind to what the Bible's telling us. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. In Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Listen to what the Bible is saying, what our relationships to be to each other. Kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. But I want my way. That's not God's way, is it? In honor, giving preference to one another. Oh, the power of words to give love is so incredible. We know that in each of our minds and our hearts and our souls, deep down inside, there's a need to receive love. There's a need to give love. Because we're created in the image of God, and the Word of God tells us that God is love. We know we can show His love with words of kindness instead of criticism. We can show His love with grace instead of judgment. We can show His love with a tenderness instead of a harsh word or an offended spirit. We can show words of forgiveness that show His love instead of condemnation and judgment. We can show words of affection, sincere affection, instead of just indifference or coldness. All of those are within our power to do those things with our words. There are no more powerful words of Christian love than when we share with others the love of Jesus Christ. There was a very important, very prominent man in a city. Everybody knew him. He was a very famous guy. He was a real successful guy. But he had never gone to church. He was not a believer in Christ at all. But one time this fellow felt an emptiness in his heart and a desire for meaning in his life. And so this very prominent man in the community began to attend a church service in a little church near where he lived. Well, the pastor, the minister, he was so excited to have a man of such standing in the community attending his church. And so the pastor worked extra hard to do research for every sermon, and he tried his best to preach a series of very well-researched and intellectually challenging sermons. After a few weeks, the man came to the preacher, and he told him, he said, I've accepted Christ. I believed on Jesus for my Lord and my Savior. And there was a glow about his face, and there was obviously joy in his heart and his expressions as he talked to this pastor about his new relationship with Christ and how much he loved Jesus. And of course, the pastor asked him, he said, tell me, which of my sermons brought you to that point of making that decision for Christ? And the man says, well, I loved your sermons, but that's not what did it. He said, One morning, as I'm walking out of the church, a poor old woman was walking along beside me. And suddenly she stumbled and she was falling. And I caught her. And as I was helping her up, she looked me right in the face and she said to me, "Do you love Jesus, my blessed Savior?" He said, I went home that day, and all I could hear was her heartfelt expression, "Do you love Jesus, my blessed Savior?" And I knew she had something that I needed. So that afternoon, I prayed and I asked Jesus to forgive me my sins, to come into my heart, and now He's my Savior too. Simple words of Christian love, much more valuable than all the learned discourses when they come from the heart. Oh, and it's real and it comes from the heart, when it comes from the anointing and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God's Word reminds us of the power of His Word. Isaiah 55 and 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." John 8 and 51, "If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." Hebrews 1 and 3, "Upholding all things by the power of His Word." Oh, praise God for that. Hebrews 4 and 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's a powerful thing, isn't it? Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, "For every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." That's Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Well, God help us to have a resolute purpose to speak the words that are needed today. Words of cheer, words of comfort, words of compassion, words of Christian love to those around us that are so desperate in need of those words. In the old days, when darkness was coming on a city, the lamplighter would walk down the street, lighting one lamp after another. In front of him was all darkness, but behind him was a flood of light. That's what believers do. That's what happens when we understand the power of our words of hope and love and joy to share the light. Oh, to share the light of the world, Jesus, to share that light with the world that's full of darkness, that's desperate to hear the good news, the love of Christ, the good, wonderful hope that comes when we know Jesus. David had a beautiful prayer. I know in Teen Challenge, we teach all the men in the Teen Challenge program to have a life verse, don't we, Linda? All those men have a life verse. I guess this scripture is my life verse. It's Psalm 19 and 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 19 and 14. May that be our heart's cry today. May we remember the scripture text that we started with. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank you today because your word, the Bible, shows us the power that you place within us with the spoken word, the power to love, to forgive, to bless, to build up, to edify, to give hope, to give comfort, to give cheer, to give them Jesus. Oh, that's within us. God, show us by your Holy Spirit. Give us those divine opportunities. Help us be so tender-hearted that we speak those words rather than those words that would tear down and destroy and provide indifference and coolness of spirit. Oh God, help us. Help us surrender ourselves and our desires to Jesus. Help us surrender our need to somehow be the center of things and rather reach out and humble ourselves, preferring others in kindness and love, and to share that with the words that we speak today. What power you place in us. Help us to understand it, to do good and to bless. Help us, Lord, as we surrender ourselves to Jesus. In your name we ask all these things. Amen. 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 Praise God.